We're going to turn to, again, the Psalm section of our Bibles, and we're going to read some of the verses that we sang together earlier on. So it's Psalm 119, and we're taking up our reading at verse 65. Psalm 119, verse number 65. Some of you will be aware that Psalm 119 is split into various sections, each of 8 verses. And each section corresponds to a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we're reading from Psalm 119, verses 65, and we'll read the two sections, Teth and then Yod. So Psalm 119, verse 65, let's read together the word of the Lord. The psalmist here says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We know that the Lord will bless this public reading of his own precious and holy word. Let's seek the Lord just briefly. We would encourage you, please, to pray for your own heart that the Lord will speak to your soul and bless you today. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the clarity of it and for the comfort that thy word brings in times of trial and in times of difficulty. And Father, today we pray that the word of the Lord will come as the dew of heaven upon every waiting heart. Lord, I confess my need, and I give myself afresh to thee, body, soul, and spirit, to be quite simply a channel of blessing. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt hide me behind the cross. As always, Lord, let my name perish and be forgotten, but glorify the name of thy Son. I pray for the anointing of God, and I ask, Lord, that thou wilt speak to thy people. Shut us in with thyself. Glorify the man at thy right hand, for it's in his name. And for the glory of thy Son we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to speak today, and God willing, for the next 2 or 3 Lord's days as we're in this pulpit, upon a very vital and yet a very delicate subject. A subject that in all honesty could be very easily misunderstood. And a subject that some of us will have experienced to a greater or lesser degree than others. I want to speak on this subject, the blessing of pain. The blessing of pain. Now that sounds in a sense like a contradiction. But you'll find my text this morning in verse number 71 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted." And so the psalmist here, whatever his affliction was, he says that that affliction was a good thing. It was a blessed thing. Verse number 67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And then in verse 75, he says, "Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." So the psalmist here is speaking about affliction. And the word affliction here, it literally means to depress. It means to abase, or it means to hurt. And so what the psalmist is saying in this text of Scripture, verse 71 of Psalm 119, "It has been a good thing for me that I have suffered pain. It is a good thing for me that I have been abased. It is a good thing for me that I have been depressed, that I have been cast down. It is a good thing for me that I have been crushed." The blessing of pain, or perhaps a better way to put it would be the underestimated or the unforeseen blessing of pain. Now, don't we live in a world where we would just love to be able to do away with pain? Where we would love to be able to eradicate suffering? We would love to be able to take away sickness and sorrow and depression and deal with all these things and just put them away so that life would be easy, that life would always be a bed of roses. And I suppose, if we're honest, many people use pain and they use suffering as a very argument against the existence of God. How often have you heard, and how often have I heard, people saying things like this: "Well, if there is a God, and if God is a God of love, then why is there so much pain, so much sorrow, so much suffering in this present world?" And they use pain, suffering, and sorrow, and hardship, and trial as a kind of argument that there can't possibly be a God in heaven. Pain is a reality. It affects every single one of us to a greater or lesser degree. And I certainly don't claim today to have any sort of monopoly in suffering. I can look over the congregation this morning and see many, many people who have suffered pain more acutely than I have. Some of you more acutely than perhaps I ever will. But we do not know what tomorrow holds. During the week, I was in a couple of times visiting our sister Joyce Kane. Coming out of the hospital ward, going to the car park, I met one of our ministers from across the province. And he asked me if I'd heard about a young girl belonging to one of her congregations who was very sick. I said I had heard, and she said, "Well, she's here in this hospital at present time." On Monday of the past week, this young girl of just 12 years of age was diagnosed with leukemia. And she was taken straight into hospital, and on Tuesday began a very intensive course of chemotherapy. And I had never been before in the children's hospital in the Royal Victoria Hospital. But I remember walking in just on Tuesday, or Wednesday it was rather, of the past week, and looking through doors and through windows and into wards and seeing children, 5, 6, maybe 10 years of age, some of them with no hair, going through chemotherapy. And I tell you, that always causes us to ask questions. Why? Why do we live in a world that is full of pain? But pain can prove to be a blessing. The psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Now, one of the dictionaries that I looked up defined pain this way. First of all, it said pain, noun, the sensation of acute physical hurt or discomfort caused by injury, illness, etc. Or secondly, emotional suffering or mental distress. And it may be this morning, in fact, I am almost certain that it would be for at least one person in this meeting. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but I'm certain, as it's always the case, any time you preach, there will always be someone somewhere in the congregation who is suffering some sort of pain. It may be a physical pain. It may be mental pain. It may be emotional pain. It might even be financial pain. It may even be spiritual pain. And I'm sure there's at least one person here today, and beyond what man sees, and despite what any other person knows in this congregation today, you are in this meeting and you are suffering pain, sorrow, discomfort, and it's like you're being afflicted, depressed, downcast, abased, or hurt. And you say, preacher, today, how can my pain, how can my suffering possibly be a blessing? And others would say, well, how can pain in this world ever prove to be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a much better thing if there was no pain? A number of weeks ago, although I didn't watch it, but I saw advertised on television a documentary about a particular mother. I think she was from England, and she had two children. And these children suffered from a very unusual kind of illness. I'm not sure what the name of it was, but the symptoms were that these two children couldn't feel pain. And I remember thinking immediately, well, that can't be a bad thing. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to get through life if you never felt pain? But then I began to think that how pain is so often a blessing. Those children would fall and hurt themselves, wouldn't feel it, maybe break a bone, and just go on as if nothing had happened. They would maybe cut a finger and that wouldn't cause them any pain, and then that would get infected and something would get into their body and they wouldn't feel it. Maybe a toothache or a stomach ache that maybe symbolizes a greater problem underneath the surface, but because they couldn't feel their pain and they never knew what it was to suffer physically, it created more problems than it solved. And I began to think, you know, isn't it true that pain is a blessing? Today and over the next couple of Lord's days, I want to speak upon this subject, the blessing of pain. Hanging our thoughts in this verse in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And I just want to highlight very simply some areas where pain can be a blessing. First of all, pain often dictates a need. Pain and suffering highlight oftentimes a need. They dictate a sense of need. You see, so often pain in the body denotes that something is wrong. If I have a toothache, and a toothache is never a pleasant thing, but if I do have a toothache, it denotes that decay is setting into any particular tooth that I have in my head. Now that's happened to me a lot of times because my mouth is full of fillings. In fact, I've got one tooth that doesn't really feel pain anymore because it's been filled so many times, I think the nerves have died. But I can remember times whenever that tooth caused me a lot of pain. And I ignored it for quite some time. And now that tooth is dead and it's, I suppose, ready to be taken out. But pain denotes oftentimes that there's an underlying problem and it would be foolish to ignore pain. It oftentimes highlights an underlying problem. Now, if we look at our world today, a blind man on a galloping horse would notice that there's pain and there's suffering all around us. In fact, the Word of God doesn't try and hide this fact. Sometimes well-meaning Christians do try and hide the fact that Christians and good people do suffer. But the Bible doesn't have us under any sort of illusion that the world is a place where there's no pain. In fact, it highlights it and it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain up until this present time. The whole of the world groans and travails and moans together in pain. There's nobody that is exempt from pain and from sorrow and from suffering. Sometimes people ask, well, why is there so much pain? Why do we live in a world where there are broken homes, broken hearts, broken hopes, broken lives, broken families, and broken bodies? Why is there so much pain? Well, it does reveal, at the very least, that something is fundamentally wrong with our world. We live in a world that is broken. We can't ignore that. And I suppose as well that the politicians and the economists and the psychiatrists and the self-confessed, professed evolutionists and atheists are all thrown for a loss as to try and get to the bottom of why our world is a broken place. None of them can solve the problem. In fact, the problem that our world is experiencing, the pain in our world, is a pain that goes so deep that only God has the answer. And only God can give an explanation. We live in a fallen world. You read the first two or three chapters of the book of Genesis, and you will soon discover that this world is radically altered and has been radically changed from what God first created and what God intended it to be. Whenever the Lord looked at this earth, he saw that it was good. He saw that it was perfect. And he was able to give his benediction upon this earth by resting on the seventh day. But we know tonight that our world is not good. And that our world is not perfect. And that our world is broken. It highlights a fundamental need whenever we see the pain. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse number 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. On this earth, we are all dying. That's a harsh fact. And that is the result of sin. Now, if you think about a world without pain and a world without suffering and a world without any kind of affliction, if there was no pain and if there were no symptoms, then we would not be aware of our sense of need. The fact that every day we look at the news headlines, every day we read the newspapers, every day we listen to the news on the airwaves or watch it on the television or on the internet, it reminds us that there is something fundamentally wrong with our planet. And so even for that reason, pain can be a blessing, because pain dictates a sense of need. And maybe today I'm speaking to somebody in this meeting and you're not a Christian. And the psalmist could point back to a time in his life where he did not walk with God, where he did not know God, where he did not love God, and yet he got to this time in his life where God began to afflict him, God began to trouble him, and as a result of that, he came to know the Lord, and he was able to say, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." His pain turned out to be the thing that was a blessing in his life. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody today and you're not saved. And in your heart you're saying, "Preacher, if you only knew what I was going through. If you only knew the pain, the heartache, the sorrow, the sleepless nights. If you only knew, preacher, what I was going through. Maybe you wouldn't be speaking the way you're speaking. Why am I suffering the way I am?" Well, let me challenge you, and let me throw out a thought. Could it be that your pain is the very thing that God is using in your life again and again and again and again to dictate and to show you that you need God? That your life is broken. You know, I sometimes meet people, whether it's in hospital, sometimes even in the psychiatric units of hospitals. In fact, I was speaking to a man just recently, and he says, "You know, I know that I am here because God is speaking and dealing with my heart." And he acknowledged that the pain in his life was something that he knew that God was using in his life to bring him back to himself. Dictating a sense of need. his pain, his suffering, his sorrow. And he was able to say, I know that I need God. And through this trial, God has been speaking to me. Maybe God has been speaking to me in your pain. Pain can be a blessing because it dictates a sense of need. Pain can be a blessing because it is often the means that God uses to bring us to himself. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. And so here's a man that speaks of a fundamental and a radical change that has been wrought in his life. And he's able to say, Lord, before I experienced pain, before I experienced affliction, before I was crushed, before I was broken, before I was hurt, before I was depressed, before I was abased, I went astray. But Lord, you brought this affliction into my life and it stopped me in my tracks. Lord, you broke me, you ground me down, you crushed me. And now since that affliction, since that pain, I have kept thy word. And as a result of pain, affliction, and suffering, this man learns what it is to walk with God. You see, friends, often God uses means to bring us to faith in Christ. And if we do not come willingly whenever all is well, often God uses means that cause pain in bringing us to Christ. For example, conviction for sin is often a very troublesome and afflicting thing. And many today can testify to maybe months, weeks, years of pain in the mind, turmoil, loss of sleep at night. No peace, no happiness, no contentment, loss of sleep, circumstances just never really working out right. And I often meet people and they say, you know, before I was a Christian, it just seemed that no matter what I did and no matter what I put my hand to, it just didn't work out. And it was pain, it was affliction, it was sorrow. It was trial that God brought into the life to bring that individual to a sense of need and to bring them to Christ. One of the godliest men that I ever had the privilege of meeting was one of the elders in a little church in Port Lincoln, South Australia, a brother of the Reverend John Douglas. His brother Bob left home as a young man in his early 20s on what was known as the £10 scheme. He left East Belfast as a young man out of fellowship with God. He went to live in Australia. He got married. Began to work there. Many things were going well. And then suddenly he fell ill as a young man in his 20s with a very, very severe heart condition. And as they opened him up on the operating table, they operated on him and things went wrong. And as a result of the operation going wrong, he has suffered a quite severe stroke. Then they closed him up, and a few weeks later they opened him up again, and this cycle went on and on and on. And I remember asking this man one time to give his testimony in our church meeting, and he began to read from the book of Hebrews, where the Bible tells us in verse 12, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now this is a man whose illness in his early 20s has affected him in so many different ways throughout his whole life. But he stood that day and quoted that verse again and again and again and again. Whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he said, for years I lived out of fellowship with God. And you only had to look at him to know that he had suffered intensely in his body. But he said, you know, I thank God every day for my pain. I thank God every day for my suffering. Because through this pain, through this suffering, through this condition, the Lord brought me back to himself. Now, I just wonder, friend, now that man was a man that was a professed backslider. And friend, I wonder what God will do in your life. Those of you who are out of fellowship with God, those of you who are not saved, those of you who are backslidden, I wonder what God will do in your life to bring you back into fellowship with himself. You know, we read in 2 Samuel, chapter number 14, about a man by the name of Joab, who received an invitation from Absalom, the king's son. And it tells us in 2 Samuel, chapter 14, verse number 29, "Therefore Absalom sent for Joab. A call went out, a royal summons to this young man by the name of Joab to have sent him to the king." In other words, Joab, the king calls for you, and Absalom goes out as a servant of the king, and he calls Joab to come to the king. But it tells us, 2 Samuel 14:29, but he would not come to him. Wouldn't come. And it says, when he sent again the second time, he would not come. And so here's a man by the name of Joab, and the king calls him twice, but he won't come. And it says in verse number 30, "Therefore he," Absalom, "said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And so Absalom recognizes that while the king is calling for Joab, there's one thing in Joab's life that Joab won't let go of. Something that God has blessed him with, but under that blessing it has proved to be a distraction. And so Joab, as a result of his business, as a result of his farm, as a result of his prosperity, he allows this thing to stop him from coming to the king. And so Absalom says to his servants, "Well, I've called for that man twice, and that man won't come. You see that thing that he loves? Set it on fire. If he'll not respond to the king's invitation, we'll get his attention some other way." And so the servants go out and they set the barley fields on fire. And Joab arose and came to Absalom and to his house. And he asks the reason why. Why did this have to happen? And the answer was, because you were called twice and you didn't come. And I had to get your attention some other way. And so I had to set your fields on fire. And at last, Joab comes to the king. And I wonder today, will there be somebody maybe before this year even draws to a close? Somebody that said, "I knew the Lord. I walked with the Lord. He was my Savior." Maybe somebody brought up in a Christian home and God has called you again and again and again. Maybe God called you during the mission and while others were coming, you didn't come. And God called you the second time and you still didn't come. And God is going to put his hand on something that you love and God is going to remove it. And you're going to come to the preacher and you're going to say, "Why? Why did God burn my barley field?" And maybe the answer is going to be very simple. Because God called you once. God called you twice. And you knew that the king was calling for you. But you wouldn't come. And so God brings affliction into your life. And that's the thing that God will use to bring you to himself. What loss will you suffer? What pain will you suffer before you give yourself unreservedly to God? You see, pain ultimately is a blessing. The vital thing, folks, in life is to know God. The vital thing, the fundamental thing in life is to walk with God. And the greatest blessing that anybody can receive in life is to know God. And God will take away any other thing in life that you deem to be a blessing that you might receive. The greatest blessing of all, to know God. Anything that God uses to keep a soul out of hell ultimately is a blessing. You see, Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And the psalmist here was a man that found repentance through affliction. And that pain, that suffering, that chastisement, whatever it was, we're not told, whether it was physical, whether it was financial, whether it was emotional, whether it was some other type of pain, we're not told, but it was a good thing. That affliction was the good thing that led the psalmist to repentance. You see, sometimes a life without pain can ultimately be a curse. Psalm 73, a psalm by the name of a man called Asaph. He said, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." So here's a man that knows the Lord. And he looks at the ungodly and he looks and he says, "Well, I can't understand this." And it brings him almost into a point of sliding away from God completely. He says, "My steps were almost gone. My feet had well nigh slipped." Why did it happen? Because he said, "I looked at the ungodly." And he said, "I saw some people and they never suffered. They were never troubled. They were never concerned. They had prosperity. They just had a life of ease." And he says, "Here I am. I'm walking with God and I'm not experiencing the ease that the ungodly have. My life," he says, "is full of affliction." But then God turns the tide and this went on. And he says in Psalm 73, verse 17, "Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." He understood that these people that he was looking at, that he was envying, that never suffered any pain, a life of ease. He said, "I began to realize that that life of ease was just a window in eternity. A window in eternity of eternal suffering." And this at last was the thing that woke him up. Ultimately, he's saying, what really is pain and suffering in the light of God's great eternity? Whenever I look at lives of ease, people that don't take up the cross and follow the Lord, people that don't have the burdens and the trials that Christians have, and Christians do have burdens, concern for their loved ones, concern for their families that are lost, it breaks the heart of many of God's people. The ungodly don't experience that. But what is a life of pain compared with an eternity of bliss in God's heaven? The underestimated blessing of pain. The psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." And we've just considered two fringe benefits of pain. First of all, pain dictates a need. Secondly, pain can be the means that God uses to bring us to himself. And God willing, next Lord's Day, we'll consider more of these blessings that God can give us in a way that perhaps we've never considered before. But friend, don't despise God's dealings with you in your life. Because all things work together for good. Not all things are good. Things that happen in life are often bad. But all things, whether good or ill, they work together. Ultimately for the good of God's people. For the good of those that know and love the Lord. We're just going to sing a verse or two of number 452.